Hey, what is up, guys? Man, welcome back. It's good to see you again this Sunday night. We're in the middle of our study about Jesus. And we're studying Jesus by looking at different superheroes. So while you're sitting down, I'll play the music to our next superhero. Here he goes. You'll probably become familiar with him very soon. Who is this? Who are we talking about? Listen carefully. Oh. 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 Sounds to me like a hammer. Is that a hammer? I think it's a hammer. What superhero has a hammer? It is the one. It is the only. It is Thor. All right, let's jump on in. We're going to talk about Thor tonight. Jesus is better than Thor. Let's give some background information real quickly here. All right, so you know this about Thor. You know that he is the son of, or at least a son of Odin. And Odin gives to his son Thor Mjolnir. Mjolnir is this giant hammer that nobody can pick up unless they are humble and worthy. And Thor, when he has his hammer, Mjolnir, he's able to fly. He's able to change the weather. And of course, he can throw the Mjolnir and it flies through the air and knocks down giants and all kinds of crazy things. It knocks them down and then it comes back to him. So Mjolnir is incredibly powerful. Now, Thor, here's the thing, right? One of the things about Thor is that he's proud of his power. He's proud of his status. He looks down on other people. That's a struggle of his. Did you know that Thor is actually one of the original Avengers? So you want to get down to the core? Thor's one of them. So he is a son of the great god Odin. But Thor, though he also is a god, he is the god of thunder. He, though, is limited. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't have all power. He's not omniscient. Doesn't know everything. He's not the creator. He's not even involved in creation. He's a creature. He's not equal to the greatness of his father, Odin. He is not as high ranking in glory and honor as Odin. Odin is way better, way, way better. Now, take a look at this picture. I want to show you this. It's a picture of nine different artistic drawings, cartoon-like drawings of the gods in Norse mythology. You got Frigga, she's the queen of the gods. Then you got the most beloved of the gods is Baldur. You didn't even know who Baldur is. Did you know he is the most beloved of the gods? I didn't know that. Then you got Heimdall. Then you got Frey. Right in the middle, dead in the middle. The middle is the all-father of the gods. The all-father is Odin. Odin is the all-father. Then you got guys like Loki and Freya and Tyr and Thor. Thor is one of many gods. He is not as great as his father Odin, though he is a great god, a very powerful god, feared and terrible in his strength and in his temper. But Thor is an incredibly powerful, strong god, yet he is not as great as his father Odin. He is a creature. Now, you might say, Dave, why are you going with this? What are you talking about? Is you trying to say that someone believes kind of the Thor view of Jesus or something out there? And you would be surprised to know there is actually a very big group of people who believe the Thor view. Let me tell you. See if you can connect the dots for me. This right here is a Jehovah's Witness. This is a picture of a gentleman, very nicely dressed. The girl behind him is a very attractive lady. These two people go door to door. They knock on your door and they try to show you the Bible or give you pamphlets teaching their teaching of Jehovah's Witnesses. One thing they're probably not going to tell you right away, although they might if you get down to it and ask them questions, is these teachings about Jesus. Listen, I got these right from their website. Right here, look at this, jw.org. I'm going to read these for you. And read for you two quotations from the website of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's the first one. We do not worship Jesus. We do not believe that he is Almighty God. All right, here's the second quote, Jehovah's Witnesses. As a created being, he, that is Jesus, is not part of a Trinity. There is no Trinity, they say, because he is a created being. Jesus is a creature. He's beneath Almighty God. There's Almighty God who's all by himself, and then he has someone he made, this creature he created. The Almighty God created a creature, and that is who the Son of God is. Sounds very similar to the Thor view, doesn't it? That's why I call that the Thor view of Jesus. Now, someone is going to probably say, holy cow, Dave, where do they get that teaching? Because that's not Christian. It's not Christian. In fact, that's in some ways exactly what it means not to be a Christian, is to deny Jesus. So what exactly, where do they get their ideas for this? They get it from a word, a Greek word, that is in the middle of a very well-known Bible verse that you memorized. Look at this verse right here. I'm going to show it to you. Look at it on the screen. Do you see it? For God so loved the world that he gave his, here's the Greek word, you ready? Monogenes. We say one and only son. The Greek word is monogenes. He gave his monogenes son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We got to talk about this word monogenes because it's critical to understanding the Thor view of Jesus that Jehovah's Witnesses teach. They take these two words, at least these two parts of the word monogenes. It comes from mana and genes. And the word mana refers to only, and the word genes refers to born. And so a Jehovah's Witness will look at that and they'll say, aha, Jesus is the monogenes son. The son is monogenes, which means right here in John 3:16, let me show you what it means. This is what a Jehovah's Witness who believes the Thor view says. They would say something like, see right here, look in the Bible. You see this verse? This verse says that the Son of God was born. So he isn't really God then. He's beneath the real God. He's not Almighty God. He is monogenes. And so that's the Thor view of Jesus. And I hate to break it to you, but actually I don't hate to break it to you. I want to make it very clear to you. The Thor view of Jesus is wrong, and the Jehovah's Witness view of Jesus is wrong. It's wrong to say that Jesus is simply a creature that Almighty God made. Let me show you why this is wrong, okay? I'm going to give you a couple illustrations. Remember how I told you the Jehovah's Witnesses take this Greek word? The Greek word is monogenes. They take the two parts of this word, mono and genes, and they say, hey, look, if you take these two words and you glue them together, it means only born. That's what the word means, only born. Here's what they're doing. Let me show you how this is wrong with a couple illustrations. Let's say we take the word hot and the word dog. And let's say we go back to, I don't know, like 600 years ago or something. And we start talking about a hot dog. What are the people going to imagine? They're going to say, ah, hot dog. I know what that means. If you take the word hot and dog, you put it together, you get this picture right here. A nasty old sweaty dog. Boy, that dog's hot, ain't he? Boy, he's all sweaty and nasty. That's a hot dog right there. That's what the word hot dog means. Because you took two words and you glued them together and you thought that the idea was just the sum, the adding up of two words. Here it is again. Let's go with the word quarter and back. Let's say we go back 150 years and start talking about a quarterback. You know what people are going to think? That's a dude with a quarter on his back. What's he doing with that quarter on his back? I don't know. He's got a quarter on his back. Of course, they didn't have quarters that long ago, but you get the idea. The word quarterback doesn't mean someone's got a quarter on their back. It's a whole other word. Like hot dog doesn't just mean a hot and a dog stuck together. It doesn't just mean a quarter and a back that stuck, this two words stuck together. You don't just add the two words up and come up with the meaning of the word. There's something more. The two words together become a new word. These two words together mean something different. The word monogenes in Greek, it is true, it is the word mono and genes that have been added together. But those two words added together in Greek don't just simply mean only born. They mean something else. So what does it mean? Let me give you a picture. Let me give you a definition. I took a screenshot of a Greek dictionary that I have on my computer. Yeah, I got one of those. This is the Greek dictionary, and it's saying, here's the definition of the Greek word monogenes. You can see the word right there in Greek. Those are the Greek letters. This is what it says. The word monogenes means pertaining to what is unique in the sense of being the only one of the same kind or class. Monogenes, what is unique? What's unique? When the Bible says in John 3:16, God loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his monogenes son, what that is saying is he gave his unique son. There's no one like him. There's no other son. Jesus is the unique son. And he's unique because, yes, he is the Son of God, but he is the eternal and forever, beautifully, always existing, equal to the Father and to the Spirit in power and glory, Son of God. The glory of the Son is that he is God. He is unique in that he is the only Son of the Father, always, eternally, and forever in beautiful equality with the Father, in his power and his glory. So the word monogenes, you can't just add mono and genes together and say, those two words added together mean only born. That's not what those words mean. Those two words coming together make a new word, and that new word is unique. Like hot and dog added up doesn't just mean that dog right there is hot. It means a food. It's a whole new word. When you take the two words and add them together, you get a whole new idea. When you take mono and genes and you add them together, you come up with a whole new word that means unique. That's what the dictionary said. So what? What does that mean? Let me end with this. Here's a picture of a rock, but there's a story to this rock. There's this fella out in Oregon, and he had this rock right here. He had this rock sitting by his front door. And anytime he wanted to prop the front door open, he would set this rock in front of that door. And the rock's pretty dense. It's pretty heavy, very heavy. In fact, he would set it right there and it would keep the door open. One day, this guy had a friend over. And his friend said, hey, there's something different about that rock. Let me go take that and check into it. Maybe this friend, I don't remember now, I got to go back and read the article, but the friend had some interest in rocks. He's looking at it and he goes, man, let me take a look at this. He takes it back to a laboratory or does some inspection work on it. Come to find out, that rock was from a meteorite. It was like a piece of a star. This dude had a star, at least a piece of a star, on the ground, propping open his front door. Why? It's like in a museum now. That rock is in a museum where it's being honored for what it is. Why did that guy do that? Because he thought it was just another rock. And here's the thing. So long as we think that Jesus is just another creature, he's just another thing, if you accept the Thor view of Jesus, maybe even a great thing, maybe even the greatest thing, but just a regular thing like everything else, Jesus will be nothing more to your heart and nothing more to your mind than any other thing. You just stick it at your front door to keep it open. He's just a regular thing. It's religion. But if Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is really the Son of God, equal in power and glory to the Father and to the Spirit, if he really is who he said he is, then he doesn't belong in propping open the front door or propping open any other part of our lives. He belongs at the highest place of our heart to be honored and to be adored and to be cherished because the Father sent his unique and glorious and beautiful Son, his one Son, his only unique and beautiful, powerful Son. He sent him to die for sinners so that we would inherit the earth that he deserves. Guys, everything falls apart with the Thor view of Jesus, because Jesus just becomes a great creature, but he's just a thing like everything else. The correct view, the true view of Jesus, is that he is unique. He is one of a kind. There is none like him. He is the glory of the Father, equal in power. You can praise Jesus as equally as you praise God the Father and God the Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God, equal in power and glory. All right, I'm going to end there. I got some questions for you guys to work on. All right, here you go. What is the Thor?